Today I'd like to finish on the series we've been on the new versus the old. We've been actually in Luke chapter 5, and we've been discussing the attitude of the Pharisees and all the people that were there, but also we've been looking at the statements that Jesus made that are very profound and have a lot of meaning to them about new garments and old garments and taking pieces of one and putting it on the other. And also, we've been looking at the new wine and the new wineskins and the old wine and the old wineskins. Last Sunday, we were looking at the new wine and the old wine as religiousness versus reality and how we have freedom in the Spirit. And it's a real deal when God is moving by His spirits and our hearts are open and we have that dimension of an open other world, the spirit world, where we transport ourselves. And we're not talking about strange things and hallucinations, and we're not talking about transcendental meditation and all these crazy things. That actually belongs to religion. We talked about how the religions of the world have deceived people away from the simple reality of the power of the gospel, and how the new wine represents the real deal, the life with God, the relationship with God, this new deal with the Holy Spirit. I'd like to mention as an eighth principle that Jesus was bringing out, I see that the new wine can also represent a life accepted in the beloved. If we were to look at Ephesians 1 verse 6, you will see that it says, to the praise and commendation of His glorious grace, that is His favor and mercy, which God freely bestowed on us, making us accepted in His beloved. Now remember, this is dealing precisely with the new wineskin. And He's saying that He has made a new creature, but that now the whole of you, not just the inner man that He may created after His image, but now the whole of you has been accepted by God. And I just want to say that this is one of the blessedness of the new wine. This new life with God, this new relationship with God, gives us not just a sense of being accepted with God, but it is a real deal. I guess what I'm trying to say is that when you're down on yourself or you're down on your luck, you don't feel like you're very desirable to God. You don't believe that you're very accepted. He has given us a new wine that we have drunk from. It has nothing to do with how you feel. When you're feeling good and you're feeling great, you know you're accepted with God. When you've been messing up a little bit, you just don't think you're accepted with God. Our acceptance with God is a whole lot more, I'd like to say, than just what we think. It has to do with being the objects of delight, I would say of divine delight to God. God made us the objects of delight for Him. Don't forget that it says that for Christ we were all created for His pleasure. We are His delight. It says that the delights of God are the sons of man. When He made man, it was His delight. Thank God in Christ Jesus, we were brought to that position of being a delight to God. And it doesn't matter how we feel about it. It doesn't matter if you're down or you're up. You are a delight to God because His delightful Son dwells in us. His Son in whom He said He is well pleased, which means I am delighted in this my Son. God, when He looks at His well-beloved Son, doesn't just delight in you because His Son is there. It's that if His Son accepted you, if you accepted His Son, you are a delight to God. And I'd like you to put a period there. No ifs, no ands, no buts, no anything. It is, we are a delight to God. Are we always doing delightful things before the Lord? Maybe not. But we are a delight to God because He made it that way. This new wine includes life and hope and relationship of love, a relationship with God. What kind of new wine would that be if I wasn't a delight to Him? If I was a pain to Him, what kind of a deal is that? And so I thank God for that. I see in the ninth principle, new wine can't coexist with old wine. It really can't. The reason is you can't be delightful to the Lord and then be a pain in any part of His body. Can't be. You can't mix the two. It can't be the old wine and the new wine, Jesus said, cannot mix, cannot be poured together. Neither can you have the same wineskin. God separated the new wine and the new wineskin and the old wine and the old wineskin. And He said, it's time to get rid of the old wine and the old wineskin. It's time to get rid of all of that. And now it's time to take of the new wineskin. Now, the problem was that they preferred the old rather than the new. So I'd like to go on here a little bit. There's two things that I'd like to look at. One, as a tenth principle, I'd like to look at the new wine, which could represent the revelations of the Godhead. The reason I say that is because you remember in John chapter 2, at the wedding feast, rather than read from verse 1 through 11, we remember the story far too well, so we can just refer back to it. But you'll remember that all the way down to verse 10, it's telling us the story of how he asked for them to bring water. He converted it into wine. That would make it new wine. And he served the new wine as the aged wine, because what they do is they serve the aged wine first, and then they give them the cheaper wine. But in this case, he said, how is it that this new wine is better? You have kept the better part for the last. Now, if you stop and think of it, is not the second covenant better than the first one? Is not the blood of the Son of God far superior to the blood of bulls and goats? And so God saved the best wine for last, but it's still a new wine. It's not an old one. And so God fulfilled the old one in Christ, took it all in him, and then died and came inside of us. And when we're now inside, we have the old and the new, but they cannot mix. You see, I love the fact that this new wine of God can bring us a revelation of God that is all so new. This new revelation brought us a cross, a blood that we sang about this morning that's so powerful and so liberating, and it delivers from so many things and wipes away so many oppressions and wipes clean so many stains. And it is just so wonderful. I thank God for this new wine. I wouldn't do without this new wine. It represents this new life in God of freedom, of a conscience free from sin, a conscience that's totally delivered from sin, not because I've quit sinning, but because when the blood of Jesus comes, it gives me a consciousness of freedom of sin. In other words, till that moment, I don't have it. What you do 20 minutes later might be different. But at that moment, when you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, you are made new again like you were the first time you were ever washed in that fountain. That's why I feel sorry for people that are taught by doctrine to just do that once in a lifetime when they're being saved. Hey, you know what? We're being saved every day of our life. We're being saved every week of our life. We're being saved every month of our life. We're being saved continuously. God has to save us every day, every week, every month, every year of our life. This revelation of God continues to expand, continues to be beautiful, as it were. I remember in Mexico when I was there at the last conference, I preached on the revelation of the furniture in the tabernacle. And it had to do also with the revelations of the Godhead, but it also specifically had to do with the truth. It had to do with the truth of God leaving the best wine for last. Because the ultimate and last revelation was the most glorious and most wonderful and actually hasn't showed up yet. But if we were to look at the tabernacle really quickly, the first revelation was the brazen altar, which represent Jesus Christ as a sacrificial lamb. That's where the blood was shed. But then the priest had to go to the second level of revelation, and that second revelation was Jesus, the word of cleansing, because the priest had to come to the brazen laver, and they had to wash themselves. It had water in there, and it was polished like a mirror, and they could see the defects and keep washing until the water was muddier and they could see no more dirt or whatever they had to wash from their hands and face and whatever, because before they went into the holy place, they had to be clean. So that's cleansing by the word of God, by the word that he speaks also. The third revelation was the revelation of the Holy Spirit, his person and his work. And this was revealed through the candlestick and through the seven lighted candles on the sticks. I'm not going to go into all the details like I did before. I'm just giving these really quickly so that you can see the progressive revelations of the Godhead. First, it starts with Jesus. Then it starts with Jesus as the cleansing word. Then it goes on with a revelation of the Holy Spirit, of his person and his work through the candlestick. Fourth is a revelation of Jesus as the spirit of prophecy and the bread of life. And that was revealed through the table of showbread. Some people say shewbread. It was a table that had 12 loaves of bread on it that the priest would eat off of. And that's the revelation. Jesus is the revelation of the word, the prophetic revelation of the will of God to the earth. And that was a revelation of Jesus. And then you have to remember that the last altar was the altar of worship and of prayer, the prayer of the saints and worship that went up to God. And I'd love to tell you, but each one of these furniture pieces corresponds to a revival that we've had in the world, to a worldwide awakening that's happened with Martin Luther. We're standing right here at the altar of incense, of prayer and worship and praise. Never in the world has there been so many songs released as with the charismatic move, which was the last move that we had in the world. With it came joy, with it came praise, new music, with it came all kinds of things that have to do with the altar of incense. That's where we are in the period of time. But we're standing just prior to the greatest revelation, the new wine that God saved for last, which is the revelation of the Father, of His person and of His heart. And what we're going to discover is, although the heart of God contains the law, although the heart of God contains provision, which is the manna, although the heart of God includes healing, which is the branch of olive that gave forth fruit, there's one other thing to be revealed, and that's the mercy of God. If you think the mercy of God was revealed at the cross of Jesus, you wait until the heart of the Father is revealed in this next glorious revival. It's the last of the furniture of the tabernacle with all of its meaning. So if it's the last revival or not, I don't know, but it's the last one that follows the pattern of the tabernacle of Moses. It'll be a revelation of God, the Shekinah glory, the light of God. We're going to know the light of God as we've never known it before. But with it, because the light of God brings out all the darkness in everything and everybody, but with that Shekinah glory that brings such fear that even priests which live a very tight, holy life were fearful of their own life, with it will come a revelation of the mercy seat. And the mercy seat is the greatest revelation of the last new wine, which, as in Canaan of Galilee at the wedding, the wine that Jesus prepared for them that they said the best was served for the last, is a prophetic indicator of what's going to happen when the new wine that Jesus prepared will be revealed at the end and He serves it to the world. It'll be awesome like nothing has ever been before. And I thank God for that revelation. I thank God that the new wine includes all of these marvelous and wonderful things. For this 11th and last principle that I got out of this chapter 5 of Luke, I reserve it more for pastors and workers or leaders because they'll get a little more out of it. But I'm going to tailor it a little more for us. But basically, I just want to say that this new wine refers to new revivals. This old wine refers to past revivals. Keep that in mind. You say, well, how can the new wine and old wine mean so many different things? Because we're bringing different aspects out of them. And so I can see this new wine as being a new revival because new wine has to do with life. So what does the word revival mean? It means to revive something that had life and then what? Died or is sickly and point to death. So revival is God bringing back life to the church. What does new wine represent? Life, new life, a life of a relationship with God, a life of a free conscience, a life of being accepted and a delight to God. That's life, not existence, not continuance. It's just life. New wine is this life that God put in, and He didn't put it in our old nature. He put it in our new nature because that's the part He's taking with Him. Because He not only gave us life for here, He gave us life eternally. That's why there's not only one revival, but we've had revival after revival after revival through the history of time. And each revival has a meaning. Each revival is glorious. Each revival is wonderful. Each revival brought different things. But now let me talk about not just new wine and old wine as being new revivals and past revivals, but now let me talk to you about old wineskins and new wineskins. The old wineskins refer to the manifestations, the forms, the ways, and the things that happened in past revivals. So the old wineskin has to do with all the forms, but I'm going to use the word manifestations. In some cases, they shook like crazy. But then in another revival, they whiplashed back and forth.
And another revival, they danced and sang. In other words, the manifestations were totally different. In other revivals, they fell under the power. In other revivals, they stood for 16 hours listening to somebody preach out in the open. Whether it rained or shined, it didn't matter. They stood there. With each revival came different manifestations. So the manifestations of past revivals means that what Jesus was saying is that the old wine has to go in old wineskins. You can't put old wine in new wineskins. So basically it means that every time God's going to bring a new revival, he's not going to use the manifestations of the old one, but people try to keep the old ones alive. Pastors and leaders try to keep the old ones alive. You know, they keep it going and keep it going and keep it going and keep it going. God's done with it. We tend to want to put the new wine in the old wineskins, and he said it will destroy the new wine. Listen, I have learned throughout the years that each revival brings totally new manifestations, and you have to have your heart ready and willing to let God give you the new wine with the new wineskin. We're not only talking about the new wineskin as our new nature now, we're talking about revival. We're talking about the fact that we know that the next move of God is going to come with manifestations, with forms, with things that are going to become habits that are totally different than what happened in the charismatic move, or the latter rain move, or the Pentecostal move, or the Word of God move, or the holiness move, or all the way back to Martin Luther of the life by faith and only by faith. I can see how each revival has had a different manifestation and has brought forth different things, and we have to be pliable and flexible. If you're not flexible, you're going to end up hating the new, or you're not going to recognize it as God because it doesn't even look like when God was there. No, I was there when God moved. This doesn't look anything like it. This isn't God. What we're going to end up doing is rejecting the new wine. What we're going to end up doing is rejecting the greatest wine that has ever been prepared for the world. We're going to avoid it because this next one that's coming is the wine of all wines. It is the revival of all revivals. It is the most glorious revelation of the Godhead, of the Father himself, and of his heart as the world has never seen it before. Millions of people will be converted when the manifestation of the Father is made known to him, such marvelous revelation. They will see the awesome glowing light of his Shekinah glory, and in that light they will tremble with fear, and then the revelation of his mercy will come upon them, and they'll be swept in. Such a mighty sweeping in that Jesus said it will be in the last days as someone that in a net caught a fish in the ocean and then he had to throw out the ones that were bad. It's going to catch so many. You've got to say that this is a worldwide sweep. So this one that's coming will fulfill the words of the prophet that he will not come back until the gospel's been preached in all the ends of the earth. This last and glorious revelation will have power like you've never seen it before, but it may have manifestations that might scare you, and you might say, no, I'm sorry, I don't like this. You know, the revival that I grew up in, the God that I knew worked this way, this isn't God. Look, I want to tell you that there are common denominators between old revivals and new. The common denominators would be cleansing, forgiveness, healing, deliverances. You will see these, but you'll see them happening in different ways. You will see them happening with different manifestations. You will see them happening in such a way that you will say, this isn't God, and you'll be willing to do away with it. So the past moves of God is the old wine. The manifestations that took place in those past revivals have to do with old wineskins. Jesus said, let the old wine go in the old wineskin. Now, the one thing that Jesus had a problem with these people was in Luke 5, verse 39, because Jesus said, you say that the old ways are better, and you refuse to even taste the new that I bring. Let us not be as they were to whom Jesus had to say these things. Because I notice that an enormous amount of Christians around the world have this attitude that the old was better. You hear them talking about the old was better, the good old days. You know, when God was moving in this way or that way. Well, maybe he might not be moving that way now. He might be doing something different, but I can promise you that next revival is going to come with totally different manifestations. And don't say that the old revivals were better. Don't hang on to the old wineskins and the old revival, and don't try to revive an old revival with your old wineskin, with your old manifestations, and with your old ways. Be willing to get rid of them. Be willing to let go. Be willing to be flexible in your mind and heart and accept what God brings, the way he brings it, even if it offends you, even if you don't like it, even if it's a song that you don't care about. Doesn't matter how it is. When God comes, he's going to come with a new wineskin, with new manifestations, new forms, and new things that are going to become new habits to you. Yes, we do have habits. In this new revival, we might not all stand and sin. We might not even sing. It might not have anything to do with singing. The new revival might not include at all crying out loud and confessing out loud. I don't know what it's going to include. I know that there's a lot of common denominators because new revivals build on old, but new revivals don't keep the same wineskin. He has to prepare a new wineskin. Let us be as the people at the Canaan wedding. Let us be of those people that said, he has kept the best wine for last. You wait till the world is flooded with the glory of the Lord like the prophets have prophesied. You wait until that mercy goes out in such massive waves that it brings in millions of drug addicts just as they are. It brings in masses of people who are mass murderers. We're talking about terrorists here. God's got an answer for them. This net's going to wipe them all in. And if they let the work and revival and manifestations of God deliver and cleanse them and clean them up, they will be the ones that when they're brought out of the net will be kept. And if they refuse such gargantuous mercy, such a mighty revelation, such a mighty new wine that's drinkable for the whole world, if they deny that, there's no hope for them. And there will be people who will do just that. Let us not be as those whom Jesus had to say, you say the old wine is better, and you refuse to take this new wine. And so, the Lord will not pour out his new wine of renewed life and power into old forms, religious habits of the past, or past manifestations. You can count on that, because each one is new. And it's a law with God that new wine goes into new wineskins. You know, wineskins, it's interesting that he uses this word. It's a big bottle made out of leather, and so it's flat. The wine container was flat because leather is just flat. But as you continue filling it, it changes form. And so it has a new form. This new form that it takes on, God wants to put the new wine in something that takes on a new form. I've often told people the Holy Spirit is like oil. If you put him in a cylindrical vessel, it's going to be cylindrical. If you put him in a square vessel, it's going to be square. If you put him in a round vessel, a cube, a sphere, whatever shape you put him in, he's going to take that shape. And so the marvelous thing about the Holy Spirit is that he'll fit into anything. He'll fit into any situation and he'll take on that form. The thing is that this new wine was to put in new wineskins, because the old wineskins, you know, leather absorbs. And so all the particles of the old wine is all in there. It might be okay with that wine, but he said to pour out that wine and then put the new stuff in there, it just doesn't work. It's going to destroy the new wine. So God doesn't want us doing that. And let me tell you why this has to be. Too many people know how God works, so they try to keep making it work. You see, if we do it in the same form, if we keep the same form, then people don't know that God's not in it. They're using the old form. They're using the old wineskin that God's no longer using. He's done with that. Quit using it. Quit doing it. If God does it on occasion, great. I've had people push and push and push and push on me, and I don't fall. You know, I got tired of it after a few months in this church where we were, and so I just started to fall. You know, I knew somebody would catch me behind there. If there was no catcher, couldn't get me to fall. But, you know, I knew somebody was going to put me down easy, so I'd just fall. I did that twice. And as I was driving home from church one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he was pretty angry, too. I can tell by his voice when he's not very happy. He said, you were a fake. You gave a lying testimony before everyone that I did something I did not do. Did I not say to the prophets not to put words in my mouth? Because I will judge them for saying things that I said that I didn't say. You showed the world I did something that I didn't do. Boy, did he get after me. From that day forward, that's it. No more falling for me. Because if it's the Holy Spirit, fine. But if it's not the Holy Spirit, I'm not doing it. Because we hang on to forms. Do you know how many people God has gloriously delivered who never felt heat in their body? Never felt shivers go down their body? Never fell under the power? And went home thinking God forgot about them and the next morning woke up totally whole? The demon that tormented them for life was gone? No evidence, no signs, no wonders, except the evidence of the fruit that the Holy Ghost was there. Why? Because the sickness was gone. The demon was gone. The sin was delivered. The blood cleansed. They felt like a weight came off of them. Their conscience became clean again. That's the Holy Ghost moving. People try to keep the past move of God's manifestations alive today, and all it does is breed deception and at the end death for the people that are in it, because they will be made accountable before God for being an open lie and for being something of a fake. You know, if you don't like fake news today and it just turns your stomach, imagine what it is to God when we do fake things before Him just because we're trying to hang on to a manifestation. Yes, you may feel a current go through you someday. It's true that God could work that way. It's true that you may fall, or it's true that you may feel real weak and look for a chair or something to fall in. I'm not saying that God won't do that anymore. All I'm saying is make sure it's God that's doing it and not the person. You know, since the mid-90s, I quit praying for people to fall. If I pointed to somebody and prophesied to them out in a congregation, if I wanted them to fall, they wouldn't stay standing. But I'd say to them before, my mouth was a prophetic word. I'd say to them, you won't be able to stay standing when I give you this word, and give them the word and they don't. But if I didn't feel like they needed to fall, you know, I'd just give them the word, they stay standing. Because with my words, I prophesy what's going to happen. But you have to will it to happen. That's what He wants happening. So He declares it. He sends His word out before, and the word is the one that takes care of it. It's not that God gives us a toy and we can do whatever we want to with it. You know, don't forget, it's God's toy. And yes, He gives it to you. Yes, His gifts and callings are without repentance. No, He won't remove it from you. But yes, you will be made responsible for how you use His gifts. And so I know this has to do with leaders, but I'm saying it anyway because I post all this on my website. And we need to come to the place before the Lord where, as joyous and wonderful as new wine is, we need to be careful to put it in new wineskins. We need to be careful to not use old wineskins when God's through with them. Old manifestations, old ways of God moving. Sometimes people just listening to the radio and the word of faith was released to them. And the gift of faith was given to them at that instant. It's just like, oh, yeah. But what was that, oh, yeah? That was given by God. That, oh, yeah, that laid hold of that word and made them whole was God. Did you notice that hardly anything Jesus did when He walked the earth, He did in the same way? He did different things at different times. At some times He sent the word. At other times they touched His garments. At other times He just taught. Sometimes He preached. Sometimes He just prophesied. Sometimes He just told stories and everybody was healed. Sometimes He just raised His hand and everybody fell out under the power. That's when they came in the garden to take Him to be a prisoner. He didn't do the same thing, same way all the time. He followed the will of the Father. He followed the will of the Spirit. We ought to too. Because if not, we're going to become as many Christians in the church, I would say a majority of Christians in the church, that are predisposed already against new manifestations of God because they're not like the old ones. And not only was it old wine, but remember, when God gives you the new wine, there's no place for the old one because the old one died. It was drunk. It's gone. It's not there anymore. The old wine, when it was new, gave life. But it gave you life already. And because of things that happened in our life, it wore out. We drunk it. It's gone. So life began to wane. Life began to go away. Now we have to regain life again. So God revives us. God sends new wine again. So how can you have the life you used to have and lost? How can that do anything for you now? God has to give you new wine. Let go of the old. Don't look back at when you were alive with God. Be happy with the fact God's going to visit us again. You're going to be alive again with Him. And listen, you don't have to wait till the next revival for God to make you alive. You can have revival in your office. You can have revival in your bed. You can have revival with God by turning to Him with all your heart, doing business with Him, seeking His face, and suddenly you will find your land is healed. Your mind is healed. Your body is healed. Your emotions are healed. Your attitudes are healed. Everything about you is healed. The new wine pours forth out of heaven to you. You don't have to wait for a new revival. How many times have we been revived by God over and over in our life without there being a worldwide revival or a statewide revival or a citywide revival? But when God comes to you, he's going to come to you in a different way than he did before. You won't even recognize it. Before, he used to come to you when you listened to old hymns, and it was just so beautiful. And as you were listening to you, God would come. Then someday, that dried up. You listen to the music, it done nothing for you. And you see God through the music. You know what God's doing? Changing your form. Because he doesn't want you to worship a form, he wants you to worship him. He wants you to realize that the wine comes from him, not from the form. Although you drank it out of the wineskin, it's not the wineskin that's giving you the wine. Because once you drink it, it's gone, and the wineskin can do nothing for you. And when God fills it again, he's going to fill it in a new wineskin. He wants a person that's going to accept him in a new way now. He wants a person that offers them a new way. You can't offer them the old one. He made alive the old one a week ago, a month ago, a year ago. But then we cry out to God, God, I want to live again. We'll be ready for God to do something different. He might do something while you're driving to work. And suddenly the glory of God just fills that car. And you're just lost in the spirit and wonder how you got to your work when you don't know what happened in the last 20 minutes on the road. You weren't there. You were gone. An angel was assigned to drive your vehicle. But God may not assign an angel to drive your vehicle every time he comes and visits you. He might not come to you every day like that. We have to accept that God is not only resourceful, he's creative. God likes all things new. He said, behold, all things have passed away. We need to let all wineskins and old wine pass away. Once it's drunk, it did its work. You drank it, it did its work, it made you alive. We were wonderful with God, but that went away. So don't look back to the old days and try to revive them. Call out to God, return to him, and suddenly he's going to give the order, fill the water pots, and you're going to be drinking wine you haven't drunk ever in your life. And everything God makes new is better. So let us not have that attitude that people have to think that the old was better. Yes, it was better when you were there. It was better when I was there. It was better when it was new. But now it's old and gone. And so God is going to bring something new. So new wine can also refer to new revivals. The old wine can refer to past revivals. The old wineskin refers, in finishing, to the old manifestations of God. Don't work them to death. God's done with them. Because with this new wine, it's going to come new wineskins. New ways of God doing things. New songs. New revelations. New things that God is going to bring to the earth. Behold, all things become new. Thank God for that. I praise him and adore him for that. Amen.